This is your Calls Media Roundtable, Aguilar. Now we are going to get the latest on the gerrymandering war that was unleashed by Donald Trump after he demanded that Texas flip Democratic seats to the GOP. California has responded by planning to redraw its own congressional map to offset Texas's potential gain of 5 GOP-leaning seats. Yesterday, California Governor Gavin Newsom said voters will decide on a redistricting initiative in November. In his latest op-ed for the New York Times, today's guest, David Daley, argues that the outlook is bleak for national consensus. The current frenzy is just the latest example of the most anti-democratic feature of American politics in 2025. It's the toxic combination of the conservative Supreme Court majority and a political party that believes longstanding norms are for suckers and that lacks any commitment to fair play and majority rule. David Daley is author of two books, Anti-Democratic: Inside the Far Right's 50-Year Plot to Control American Elections, and the best-selling book, Rat Effed: Why Your Vote Doesn't Count. David Daley is also the former editor-in-chief of Salon. Hi, David. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Thanks, Russ.
David, I have to say, I think about how you came on the show so many years ago to talk about Rat Effed before these issues were getting media attention like they are today. And I thought, if only these issues got attention like they are today back when David came out with his book, we might be in a different place. So now that it is getting so much attention, what are your thoughts about how major media outlets are covering all of this? Do you think they're doing a good enough job of providing context and looking at the bigger picture?
Some context and some big picture. You're absolutely right. I mean, we went years with, felt like the books and your show are the only places that really wanted to talk about the importance of redistricting gerrymandering. I think that we are seeing some of the political context here, right? Donald Trump wants these 5 additional seats from Texas because he's got a 3-seat majority in Congress and he fears he's going to lose it next year. That's really been the backdrop for much of the coverage. But I think there's a handful of things that are missing, which is that even if California comes up with the 5 seats that negate what Texas is doing, the Republicans don't have any intention to stop in Texas. They're going to move on to Ohio, Missouri, Indiana, Florida next, and they can keep going in several other states. Democrats really have California, and that's about it. So if we're talking about this as a political strategy, Democrats are talking a good game about fighting fire with fire, but they're about to run out of ammo, and they'd better be thinking about what happens after that. And I also think that not enough people are talking about how we got to this current moment.
Yes.
There's a lot of talk about, you know, both parties do this. Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, this is a very old game. It goes back to the early 1800s, the late 1700s. But gerrymandering became a toxic, blunt force partisan weapon in the 2010s. Republicans recognized how new technology could be used to draw lines that they could control for a decade or more, even in purple swing states. And that really is where the gerrymandering game changed. And we still don't talk about that. And we still don't talk enough about what I tried to lay out in the Times yesterday, which is that we could have stopped this back in 2019. And John Roberts and the conservative court said no. And that's a really important decision right now. The Common Cause versus Rucho case did not get a lot of coverage back in 2019. 6 years later, it's the reason why voters have such little hope of stopping this all-out insane gerrymandering war that is happening right now.
And for a little bit more context, you came on our show so many times around 2009, 2010 to talk about the Red Map project, the redistricting majority project of the Republican State Leadership Committee. And I remember when Karl Rove? He wrote in a 2010 Wall Street Journal op-ed that he who controls redistricting can control Congress. And David, am I right by remembering in your book that a number of red state Democrats went to Nancy Pelosi and said, we've got to do something about gerrymandering, and she didn't take them seriously?
That's 100% true. And Nancy Pelosi really never wanted to fix the gerrymandering problem, right? Nancy Pelosi was on the wrong side of creating the independent commission in California. Nancy Pelosi and Karl Rove used to get together and actually divvy up California's congressional districts. She liked that power. There were really powerful Southern Democrats from Texas, from Tennessee, that went to Nancy Pelosi 2009 when Democrats had a trifecta, and they said, this is coming and we need to prepare for it now. And they were dismissed. They were not given a hearing. So when Democrats talk now about how they have to gerrymander to save democracy, or how they will fix this if they get in charge with trifecta power, they've had trifecta power, and they've not fixed it. They've not paid any attention to it. So it's a little bit rich, some of what we're hearing from Democrats. What Democrats are dealing with right now is a problem of their own making. It's a problem of political ineptitude, of having fallen asleep on this for years and years and years. And now the check has come due.
You just said something that I'm sure people would like to learn more about. You said Nancy Pelosi was on the wrong side of independent redistricting.
She was. Back when California voters passed these initiatives in 2008 and 2010, in order to take back the power to draw lines that Democrats and Republicans in California had claimed together. And they really turned districting in California into a bipartisan exercise of incumbent protection. If you go back and look at the congressional elections in California in the 2000s, I don't think a single incumbent loses for the entire decade. There could be maybe one in 2008, maybe one in 2010. But, you know, you're talking about 50 some odd races times five cycles. So you're talking about the tiniest percentage of districts changing hands over a long period of time. And Pelosi spent, you know, millions of dollars opposing independent redistricting in the state of California.
Huh, I did not know that. We should do a show about this to find out how we got to this place. Before we dive in and talk about Texas and California, what other context do we need? What else is missing?
You know, I think Red Map is a really important piece of this, because Republicans have the advantages that they have in so many states right now because of a political strategy that they enacted back in the 2010 midterms. And the 2010 midterms were a lot like the midterms coming up, right? They were, you know, an unpopular president and a party on the outs hoping that they would be able to turn things around in an election that usually favors the party that is out of power. And Republicans had a real strategy. Republicans said, okay, well, 2010 is also a census year, so it's a redistricting year. So if we can find ways to control the process in every single state, we can take control of map making, you know, not only in Texas, but we can do it in states that Democrats hold chambers in right now, in places like North Carolina, Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Virginia, you know, Florida, Indiana, Alabama. Democrats still had chambers in Indiana and Alabama back in 2008, hard to believe. Now, what Republicans did was they focused on about 110 state legislative races in these 17 states. And by winning them, as Karl Rove writes in that piece you so sagely quote, they had the power to draw more than 190 of the U.S. Congressional seats in 2010 without having Democrats in the room at all. If you can draw 190, that's a pretty good head start towards the 218 you need for control. And that hasn't changed very much. In the 2021 cycle, Republicans had the power to draw just under 190 seats. Democrats had the power to draw 49 on their own. So this is a long-term problem that plagues the Democratic Party nationally, especially in swing states, especially in purplish states, that requires a really long-term strategy to get out of.
David Daley is author of Anti-Democratic: Inside the Far Right's 50-Year Plot to Control American Elections. He's former editor-in-chief of Salon, and he wrote an op-ed in the New York Times about gerrymandering. It's called Trump, John Roberts, and the Unsettling of American Politics. David, can you tell us who actually is redrawing the maps in Texas?
It's a good question. During the last redistricting in Texas in 2021, they hired a man named Adam Fultz as a six-figure redistricting consultant. And that's not a name I expect anyone else to recognize, but Adam Fultz is the man who drew the maps in Wisconsin back in 2011. One of the very best, most sophisticated Republican map makers out there. The map in Wisconsin held strong in that purple state for more than 10 years. And I think the most impressive thing that the Wisconsin map did was it survived in 2018, a big Democratic wave year, a year in which Democrats in Wisconsin elected a U.S. senator. They elected all of the statewide offices, governor all the way down. Democrats received about 54% of the two-party vote for the state assembly. And they won 34 of 99 seats. So Republicans held just about a supermajority with 45-46% of the vote. And that was a map in year eight, right? Ordinarily maps lose a little bit of their power over the course of a decade. And so if Adam Fultz is involved in drawing these maps, this is someone who knows how to create something that is not going to backfire. Democrats, for a long time, when this was announced, were talking, well, you know, if Texas Republicans do this, they might overreach and they might accidentally create districts that they lose in a wave year. This isn't a map maker who surrenders seats in a wave year.
I want to ask you about how questions are being framed in the media, and I want to play a clip with Texas Congressman Greg Kassar. So he represents a heavily Latino district in Texas. He told NPR that by merging his district in the Austin area with an adjoining district, Trump and Texas Republicans are trying to silence the voices of his constituents and get people like him out of Congress. He says Republicans are moving 10 million people to new districts in Texas. Two-thirds of them are people of color.
Now, you've just laid out the ways that you see this as illegal, as a threat to democracy. But Democratic governors are warning if Texas does this, and it's likely they will pass this congressional map because it doesn't look like the Democrats will be able to stop it, then they're going to do it too. I mean, if this really is a threat to democracy, and this is about, and this is, a, and the country's about to enter a redistricting war between the two parties, won't the Democrats then be part of hurting American democracy and further dividing this country?
Let's be clear. Gerrymandering is terrible and should be banned. And every Democrat in Congress right now is a sponsor of the John Lewis Voting Rights Act to ban gerrymandering nationwide. But what we need to be really concerned about, and what I'm sick and tired of, is Democrats playing by one set of rules and then Republicans gerrymandering however it is they want. That's why I think it's right that Governor Kathy Hochul, Governor Gavin Newsom, and others are saying that they could redistrict in retaliation. That way, Republican governors like Abbott can know that there will be an actual cost for them breaking the rules. I think California should have independent redistricting when Texas does. Florida should pass independent redistricting. That way we can have it in New York. We should have national independent redistricting and ban gerrymandering, not allow governors like Greg Abbott to break all the rules while Democrats play Boy Scout and Girl Scout.
That was Congressman Greg Kassar on NPR. So what are your thoughts about the framing of these questions? Aren't you guys just as bad as those guys? Where what we really need is context, David.
Aren't you just as bad as Donald Trump? Right. Well, it ignores all of the gerrymandering that Republicans have done, how Republicans have held power through the gerrymander in states that barely even look like a democracy right now, right? I mean, when 54% of voters in Wisconsin vote for another party and yet they get a supermajority of the other side, that's not democracy. So we have not, you know, I'd love to know where the news media, where NPR, where so many of these outlets were during that, you know, entire 12 or 14 year period in which Wisconsin, North Carolina, so many other states barely even resembled someplace where that the will of the people held. On the other hand, I think the congressman's answers are rich in their own way as well, right? The idea that Democrats are Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts here, you know, I think is fanciful. Democrats have, you know, maximized gerrymanderings wherever they're able to. The problem is because they're so bad at playing politics, they haven't been able to maximize it in very many states. You know, in Illinois, in Maryland, in Oregon, Nevada, New Mexico, they're certainly gerrymandering to their heart's content. The other piece of this, though, is that, you know, it's not that Hochul and Newsom and the other Pritzker, the other tough-talking Democratic governors right now are necessarily wrong. It's that their tough talk leads nowhere. They don't have a strategy here because Texas and California might negate each other. New York can't do anything about this until 2028 because they've got a state constitutional amendment process. So there are no more Democratic seats coming out of New York. There aren't going to be any more coming out of New Jersey. Maryland has a 7-1 map already. You're not going to make that an 8-0 map. A state court already stood in the way of that. The governor of Oregon has already said she's not going after a 6-0 Democratic map. Illinois is already 14-3. Illinois is so wildly gerrymandered that Democrats win 82% of the seats with 53% of the vote. You can't stretch that into another seat. So when Republicans go into Ohio, Missouri, Indiana, Florida, if they keep going and go into North Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, Kansas, Kentucky, all of where they could go after this, there's 14, 15 seats on the Republican side that they could pick up. There's those 5 in California. So Democrats have to stop talking tough about how if they do it, we're going to do it. Recognize that they don't have the numbers and it's going to take a different strategy. They're going to have to look at the swing districts that remain and figure out how to invest and run and win elections in these places where their brand has become toxic. They can't out-gerrymander Republicans. The targets aren't there. And if they keep talking like this, they are leading people down the wrong path.
So rather than frame this through the lens of Democrats versus Republicans, we should really be getting the much-needed context here and find out how we got to this point. We've got about 4 or 5 minutes left. 2 questions. The racist aspect of all of this, I'm not really hearing much of that. And as Congressman Greg Kassar pointed out, he represents so many people of color in Texas. He says Republicans are moving 10 million people to new districts. 2/3 of them are people of color. So if we can talk about the racist aspects, racial gerrymandering, and then if you can end, David, this is a big question, but what should the strategy be to stop the rigging of elections? I mean, this is one reason why 90 million people in this country do not vote and don't take part in the political process.
You are 100% correct. And the congressman is completely correct about the racial piece of this, right? We are talking about the destruction of 2 competitive districts in South Texas that represent hundreds of thousands of voters of color. And then we're talking about districts in places like Houston and Dallas-Fort Worth, districts where minority voters are about to be cracked and sliced off of their cities and attached to much larger swaths of rural red central Texas. And that's going to be the game here. If we actually still had a functioning Voting Rights Act in this country, if John Roberts had not already put that through the shredder over the last dozen years, there might be some protection here. Instead, that piece of this is about to get worse. And that's the other piece about of this that we are barely talking about. The Supreme Court scheduled arguments for October 15th, just in the last several days, for a case from Louisiana, the Calais case, which is likely to remove the last constitutional protections surrounding majority-minority districts in the South. So add on to all of the partisan gerrymandering gains that Republicans are likely to make. If the court comes down with this decision quickly, and it looks as if they will based on how they've scheduled this, they could be looking at redrawing Black Democratic seats in places like South Carolina, Alabama, Georgia, and Louisiana next year as well. So the racial gerrymandering component here, very, very serious, very important, and also in danger of getting worse. And it's something else that we are not talking about enough. How do we fix this? We need a national solution to a national problem. That is very clear in this moment in which we are seeing how a process of state-by-state fixes is falling apart in this moment and has led to unfairness of its own. I mean, I think that the very best solution is something called the Fair Representation Act that Jamie Raskin and Don Beyer have proposed in Congress. It's a much more proportional U.S. House. And really, what it does is instead of single-member districts that are really easy to gerrymander, the district lines choose winners and losers. This is a system of multi-member districts, larger districts represented by three, four, or five people. The lines don't matter. You use a proportional form of ranked choice voting to elect members. You get Democrats, Republicans, and independents from every single district all across the country. Back in 2024, we had 37 of 435 districts that were actually competitive in this country. Most people have never voted in a competitive congressional election in their life. They don't even know what it means to have choice in an election for the a person in the federal government who is supposed to be closest to us all. This is a new way of thinking about this. That would not only defeat the gerrymander, but it would enhance representation throughout the entire country.
Well, David, we're going to have you back for another conversation about this. Thank you so much for bringing much needed context to this discussion. David Daley is author of Anti-Democratic: Inside the Far Right's 50-Year Plot to Control American Elections. You can read his latest op-ed for the New York Times at KALW.org. Click News and then Your Call. He's also former editor-in-chief of Salon. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Riz.
And we should also mention we're going to be doing another ICE show soon. Here's a headline from the New York Times: Border Patrol agents show up in force at Newsom rally. The armed and masked agents assembled outside a museum where the governor was speaking in what Mayor Karen Bass of LA called a provocative act. So this happened yesterday at Governor Newsom's press conference. More than a dozen Border Patrol agents turned up. We'll be doing an ICE show soon. We'll be talking about the Supreme Court on Tuesday. Thanks to Malihe Razazan for producing today's show. Thanks to Kevin Vance for engineering our show. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.